Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Reserve Bank, and welcome to our December monetary policy statement. The Reserve Bank this morning has decided that it will cut the official cash rate by 150 basis points. That's cutting it to 5%. The financial market turmoil and deterioration in the global outlook is what predominantly shapes today's decision. Most of our trading partner countries are now expected to contract or stagnate over the next few quarters, and it's as a result of this that New Zealand's own domestic economic activity is more constrained than our view in October. Inflation is abating here and overseas as a consequence of these developments, and we are now able to be more confident that the consumer price index comes back comfortably inside the target band by the middle of next year and remains broadly inside that band out into the medium term. But we are still concerned about some domestic-generated inflation, and we cite, for example, local authority rates, electricity pricing, and some other areas. Today brings our cumulative cut in the official cash rate to 3.25% in only 5 months. Now we note that our monetary policy is expansionary in its setting. Given recent developments, we feel that the balance of risks, and that's risks around both activity and risks around inflation, are now to the downside. And it's for that reason that we believe it's appropriate to be delivering the official cash rate cuts fast in order to support ongoing domestic economic activity. With monetary policy loosening and the New Zealand dollar depreciating, and also with fiscal expansion, and in addition, a number of measures around liquidity support and bank guarantees all now working together, we believe there's substantial support in place over the period ahead to help the New Zealand economy through this period and to eventually create the conditions for a growth rebound. To ensure this happens as smoothly as possible, it's also important that financial institutions play their part in this. And they can do this by continuing to lend and by passing on the lower wholesale interest rates to their customers. The future, well, further movements in the OCR will be assessed against both emerging developments in the global and the domestic economies, and also against the economy's response to current policy stimulation. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. That's the end of the formal part. We're happy to take questions. To assist, we've got Tim Hampton, head of our forecasting team, and today David Drage, manager of financial markets research. Can you please recall that we're webcasting, so we'll ask you to speak your questions into a microphone. Thank you. Any questions?
Dr. Bonnet, why did you
feel
the need to be to give this explicit message to the banks about passing on cuts?
Because we are obviously cutting monetary policy for a purpose. We want that to result in easing monetary conditions through the economy. We want that to be reflected through in interest rate reductions, both for the corporate sector and the household sector, both of which have been quite constrained.
But do you think they've been too slow or too grudging about passing on the cuts so far?
So far, we've seen much, if perhaps not all, of the 100 basis point cuts that we did in October being passed through. We've seen some discussion by banks that they might have preempted some of that and indeed preempted some of today's. Well, that really depends when you start your calculations from. But we also do observe that margins have stayed quite high and indeed growing in the banking sector. It's not an easy time in the banking sector at the minute, but it's a time through these economies where really all the institutions need to share some of the pain and some of the need to pass on easier conditions.
You remarked that you you remarked that you both wanted them to continue lending and drop the interest rates. Could you just expand a little bit on the wanting them to continue lending part of that?
Yeah, currently credit in terms of mortgage approvals has dropped quite considerably. That does reflect a drop in demand by the household sector. Credit approvals into the business sector have remained reasonably buoyant, but that does reflect quite a bit of churn going on in that banks are now taking the place of some of the finance companies in lending in particular areas, and there's been credit lines drawn down. At the same time, some corporates have now finding it harder to get loans. That's a reflection of real conditions out there, and there's every reason why banks might want to reflect that through. What we do want to avoid is seeing a situation where banks would actually look to reduce the size of their balance sheets and do that by cutting back on lending. We don't think that's required at the moment.
Is there a reason to think that they are doing that? Is there some reason to think that they are doing that?
No.
Will it take longer to come to be able to pass through with more people on fixed rates as they rather than floating in the room front?
Well, actually, the average duration of mortgage loans is now reducing quite significantly, so it will speed up a little bit. David, do you want to give any background on that?
Well, certainly we've seen increasingly both new borrowers and those repricing existing mortgages increasingly electing to take shorter and shorter terms over the past 12 to 18 months, and that action is increasingly speeding up the transmission mechanism and is likely to continue as rates fall.
Sorry, you covered this, I didn't hear all your answers. Is that households or is that businesses as well?
Primarily households. The duration of business lending, even through the past cycle, has tended to be somewhat shorter than the households. And we've already seen, in terms of non-residential average rates, they've started to fall earlier, albeit from a higher level than households.
Is the bank's assumption that the 90-day bank bills will go down 5.1% in the second half of next year assume that there will be more cuts ahead for the OCR?
Well, as you know, we do put out a broad 90-day interest rate projection to try and help the market understand our thinking on it, and it's consistent with that there would be further cuts in the OCR, but it's also consistent with that to say that our current way we're looking at it, those cuts might trough around the middle of next year. But we clearly are saying this really does depend on where the global economy goes and how the New Zealand economy responds.
So can you give us, your statement is a little bit obscure there in terms of what the future track of the OCR is. What would you expect the OCR to drop at in this cycle?
Well, au contraire, I think our forecast is extremely transparent and as transparent as one will find in any central bank around the world, where we have a projection for the 90-day rate. And we are deliberately not holding that to particular numbers around the official cash rate. So you will have to do your usual interpolation on that, there, Simon.
So, do you think the markets are being overly optimistic in how far the OCR will track down? Or are you comfortable with how the market is moving?
Well, I think the markets, given the uncertainty and volatility in the international situation, we have to assume there's a lot of uncertainty around the market numbers at the minute, and those will move around a lot as they see data coming through. We're currently seeing the financial market turbulence moving into real numbers in the real economies, so that's some extra information for us all, and the market has to absorb that. Generally, it's been depressing information. It's looking like the Q4 real economy numbers through our trading partners are much more depressed than had been felt before. But we'll wait and watch how that comes through, and I'm sure the market will as well. Those numbers will move around.
Thank you. wondering to what extent, given the current international volatility and what's going to happen with our exchange rate, to what extent does that put some sort of floor into what you can, if it really starts sort of hitting itself like a migrating goblin?
The exchange rate, the New Zealand dollar, has been very well behaved through this period. It's pretty much reflected commodity prices. I don't know what it's doing right at the minute, but in fact, since we delivered today pretty much what the market expected, I suppose you'd say, on balance, you wouldn't think it would be doing anything right at the moment. So we'll obviously watch that, but it's the market's shown all the signs of being liquid and broadly moving as one might expect given the fundamentals of the economy.
At first glance, the statement appeared to be slightly contradictory. On the one hand, you're talking about an expansionary monetary policy, the stimulus that gives to the economy, also expressing concerns about fact inflation falling below the bottom of the band, and with that implication that perhaps there's a need for rates to stay up. Could you perhaps explain that apparent conflict?
Sorry, did you say expressing concern about rates?
Well, that there's an implication about that inflation falling below the bottom of the band, and hence, that would imply rates would need to sort of stay up a little to remain
firm. No, we're not. We don't see as a real concern at the minute the likelihood that inflation might drop below the band, below, if that's what you're saying. There has been some talk about the risk of that happening in countries like Japan and maybe some other OECD countries. That's only it would take a lot to do that in New Zealand. We're not primarily concerned about that.
The statement does specifically mention the inflation falling below the bottom band.
I haven't got the exact words there, but we always, when we run our confidence intervals around our forecasts, those are quite wide confidence intervals, it's possible that it could temporarily do that. We think it's unlikely. Is it going to be a systemic problem for us in the setting of monetary policy? I don't think so.
You've said there's a chance of further smaller cuts later. Given that there is a risk that the inflation could drop below the target band, why not front load everything now in a bigger interest rate cut?
Well, I mean, we basically just did. We have been front loading over the last two announcements. We haven't necessarily done it all, but we have done as much as we feel should be done given what we understand about the global economic situation. If we get unexpected and worsening news, then actually we, in contrast to a number of OECD countries, have got a lot of ammunition in this particular box. So there's plenty more that can be done. At the minute, that's not our judgment that big things need to be done, but we'll keep assessing that. And it is a very volatile situation at the moment.
Dr. Bowers, you're forecasting fairly rapid bounce back in growth. To what extent is that just because your forecasts have to take us back into growth, and to what extent are you actually expecting it to bounce back that quickly?
Well, if we see the sort of numbers that we've got in our forecast, then it's actually is an interesting phenomenon that the faster and further the New Zealand economy falls, the jerkier and higher the rebound will be. And that's not just a forecasting or statistical fact, it's a real fact, and that's what history shows. New Zealand pulls out of these troughs and can pull out quite fast. Now, that's not always helpful because that can reflect some pent-up pressures and not actually reflect robust, sustainable, ongoing growth. We actually have got a forecast of 4.5% growth for 2011, and that's our best view at the minute. But is that desirable then? No, probably you would look for a gradual recovery in a more sustainable fashion. We do mention that because you just have to think all the time in the medium term ahead of what's happening over this year into the next couple of years. And that's the story that comes from recoveries out of the East Asia crisis, out of the tech wreck sort of period, and out of some of these previous recessions. And the further, deeper, faster it goes, the more it'll bounce out.
Thank you. And in that respect, our economy seems to be quite different from what's being expected in our trading partners, is that correct?
Well, we are a bit different. I mean, one, we went into a very shallow recession early, and we've been in this shallow recession during this year. Two, we're small, so of course, statistically, you'll get much more volatility in those sort of numbers in New Zealand, and we can pull that fast. Three, we think we're flexible.
So if the growth pans out, as you say, and we get 4.5% growth in 2010,
is it 2011?
Would you then expect the a rapid rise back up in the OCR if that pans out?
We see a future where inflation is reasonably constrained inside the target zone. I should take this moment to point out that our CPI forecasts have not got emission trading scheme numbers in them. We've taken those out, but it's very transparent. You can add them back in. With them back in, we get a medium-term inflation number that moves from 2.3, which is comfortable, to 2.7, which is less comfortable, given, of course, all the other volatility that goes on. So we'll have to wait and see some of that.
Would you expect that mortgage rates, particularly variable mortgage rates, will eventually fall below the longer-term fixed rates over the next year or two, which could, in theory, give the Reserve Bank a bit more monetary policy?
That's difficult to say. It's going to depend on a range of factors. I mean, as you know, longer-term interest rates in New Zealand are determined as much by global developments as they are by local monetary policy expectations. So the answer to that question will depend as much on where global interest rates go as what we're doing.
Would you like to see the yield curve be a bit more positive and therefore get back to, I suppose, a normal situation?
Well, it's certainly, as is the case in other countries, when shorter-term interest rates are lower than longer-term interest rates, then that's generally where most borrowers will tend to borrow. And if that's the case, then certainly makes that transmission mechanism that much quicker. But monetary policy deals with a number of long and variable lags, and it's just part of the landscape that we deal with.
Could you talk in a bit more depth about where you'd like to see the banks pass on the wholesale rates to customers, both retail and consumers and business, because there is some suggestion that the banks have passed on more of the cuts to consumers than they have to businesses?
Well, that's a hard one to judge because, as you know, there's such a range of different rates going out to businesses. No, it's hard. It's difficult to do that, and indeed I don't think it's our role to do that. Banks will decide themselves based on competitive conditions as well as the official cash rate, as well as their other funds raising costs, how they're going to configure that. As you know, there's a lot of difference about the way they position themselves around the yield curves, and we're not trying to be prescriptive about that. Our comment is a generalised one, that we do want and expect to see these rates being passed through. We're aware that a lot of the previous ones were, but prior to that, there was a build-up in margins.
Dr. Pollard, in October you expressed the view that the prospect of a global meltdown in the banking system was low, which seems to me a slightly Pollyannish view of the world, but do you still hold with that view?
Well, I don't think that's exactly my words, Simon, but in general we have had... We have been surprised by the continuation of financial market turmoil. We think probably October was the worst month we've seen to date. And we are seeing those coming through onto the real economies. And you're now seeing that in recession or near recession in most of the G7.
So how stable do you assess the global banking system to be at the moment?
Well, the global banking system is one that has incrementally had more and more support from the public sector. So basically the public sector has been taking on board loss and risk from the private sector, judging how that's working, finding there's still problems, putting more and more in, moving from liquidity support through a range of credit supports into capital support. The public sector can do that. It really means you end up with a financial system that is quite constrained and can't continue to grow in the same sort of way, and is going to be extremely risk averse and may have to go through consolidation and reorganisation. But the financial system will continue in that form. I might use that moment to say also that our view of the New Zealand banking system is that it remains sound and there is little change there. There is liquidity there. It is continuing to lend, and both the New Zealand and Australian system continue to look sound to us. Any further questions? Ernest.
Do you have a view on quantitative easing and whether the Reserve Bank here would ever need to get into that sort of area that other Reserve Banks have
been? Well, we've been doing a lot of technical measures around liquidity support, and those have generally been in the area of making it easier for banks to bring in different sorts of security and us accepting those as security and putting in more through the system. We're still looking further at what could be done there to ensure that that doesn't just stop at the banking system but is able to be passed on to corporates like that. You're aware of the guarantees. These are unconventional instruments. We've been in a situation where we can observe and watch what's been happening at really the front of the battle lines, which of course are in the United States and Europe on these matters. And at the minute, we've not seen reason or need to go beyond that.
Because in theory you could use the tap.
Sorry, just hold on.
Sorry, because in theory you could use the tap to quantitatively ease and not mop up liquidity.
There's other things that could be done if you want to discuss that. Some stage, get in touch with Mike Hanna and talk to you.
Dr. Collard, a former Deputy Governor, Roderick Dean, said that there's some distortions being caused because of the guarantees and there's been difficulty for corporates to access bonds and so on. Your Deputy Governor now, Grant Spencer, said that the bank has been looking at that as an issue and there may be some more measures ahead. Can you update us on that?
Well, I mean, yes, absolutely. The guarantee scheme is distortionary. We always knew it would be. It's distortionary around two boundary areas. One is what's a financial institution and what's not, and that's the corporate issue. It's also been distortionary around what's a deposit and what's not. And that's been the investment funds issue. Those we knew would happen. New Zealand was in a situation that had a little alternative but to announce that scheme when it did. In my view, from hindsight, it's been the right thing. But yes, it absolutely has caused distortions. When there's global turmoil, people get hurt in all of this. We have been trying to alleviate some of that. You've seen some of the subsequent measures and different pricing we've put in place. On that particular issue, yeah, we are looking at whether there's further things that can be done. They're limited, but there's some possibilities.
Can you tell us what the options are?
No, we will. Well, in broad terms, it's a question of whether we can make corporate paper more acceptable and therefore more liquid. It's quite technical. And again, ring Mike Hanna.
You remarked before that you've been watching what's been happening on the battle lines in the States in particular. Obviously, they just put $800 billion in, and that seemed to be in frustration at a lot of the previous things they've done not quite flowing through. You then remarked also that you still have some confidence that the financial system is... I mean, what gives you that confidence? There's obviously the situation's deteriorated.
Well, we have a vanilla banking system in New Zealand. It's well run as a whole. It hasn't taken on bad debts as a whole. And in addition, mortgage holders in New Zealand stand behind those. They don't walk away from them, as happens in some states in the United States. In addition, we don't have a big investment banking sector in New Zealand, which is also where some of these problems have arisen. So actually, it's been quite a nice place to have a simple system because that hasn't absorbed and had some of this contagion into it. So we have had the luxury of sitting and watching that. For us, the key issue in all of this is what happens to domestic commercial paper, sorry, to international commercial paper markets. And we are all watching at the minute how both the European and American markets behave and how they open up over the next couple of months. That is quite a key area. But on the New Zealand scene, no, it's reasonably calm.
In which case, are you then saying that your confidence is the power banking system is stable and will be reliable, but you're not quite so confident about some international events?
Well, I know that's what you're doing. It won't have escaped your attention that there is intense financial market turmoil going on overseas.
Well, I think the question was, to what extent are you confident that that will resolve itself and or not?
It's important for us that the commercial paper markets open up internationally, and that's the key thing that we will be watching. Assuming that happens, then yes, we are confident.
Is there a time span around that?
Oh, well, I mean, one wants to see it in within months rather than years, but there's no particular drop dead date or anything. And of course, we do now have a situation where many of the New Zealand banks, most in fact of the New Zealand banks, are coming in and putting residential mortgage backed securities with us, which allows liquidity to get into the system in quite large amounts if needed. So that just keeps it going. Go on, Rob.
I got an email the other day from someone who said, look, I've been putting all the money in the bank, I've saved money like I was advised to do, and now they're cutting the interest rate I'm getting on that, on those deposits. What do you want your response to be?
Yes, that happens. That's how market economies go, and they've got to think about those things.
I guess just broadening that out a little bit, it was a comment made, I think, in The Economist, that what is happening internationally is we're seeing transference of the cost of this from savers onto, from borrowers onto savers, in effect, with the lower interest rates.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But perhaps they don't make enough noise in support of the Reserve Bank's monetary policy. When interest rates are high, we don't hear from them then. But absolutely, higher interest rates help a lot of people, help the savers. In relative terms, when rates fall, they're relatively disadvantaged. But the fact is, in New Zealand, they're still getting rates that are still quite high in nominal terms by international standards. They should go to Japan for a little while and see if that's any better.
Should we expect any significant changes to the policy targets agreement that might come out of the discussions between yourself and the new Minister of Finance?
Well, I mean, there's two sides to the policy targets agreement. We're not looking for anything particular. You'll need to talk to the Minister, but there's nothing of urgency that I'm aware of there. At some stage, he may well want to re-sign it, put a signature on it. But at the minute, it's business as usual.
And is there a time frame for a new agreement? Because often there isn't.
No, the Act says when there's a new governor, there needs to be a new agreement. It's open beyond that at any time. The two parties can renegotiate it.
Dr. Byer, could I just clarify? You seem to be implying that the recession that started at the beginning of this year is going to run for about 18 months or so, mid-2009. How bad is that likely to be in terms of unemployment rates, falling house prices and so on?
Yeah, we wouldn't put it quite in those terms. We're a little bit more optimistic. Actually, you know, if you want to be sort of technical about it, we believe the recession has ended. And we have positive but very low growth for the next four quarters. And it's only towards the second half of next year that we won't be sure that we're getting very solid growth. But those numbers, as you know, in New Zealand can jump around. Actually, historically, they tend to improve rather than getting worse. So you may find that in another couple of years, Statistics New Zealand says we didn't have a recession. That would be quite within the bounds of statistical probability. But in the meantime, we think we've had a very shallow recession. And actually, it's not that different from the United States. From Australia, the lucky country that's just had a third quarter of 0.1%. Statistically, it's not really very much difference between those. But we are a little different, as I said, because we had the drought and we had the housing sector coming off a little early. And that's meant we're in a bit of a different position from other OECD countries, which look like Q3, Q4, Q1 next year are there negative quarters. That sort of helps slightly, but I wouldn't put too much on that. Those are just very low numbers. But that is a recession technically, but very, very shallow one, and a lot shallower than we've seen in the past. Yet to see whether that actually comes true.
So just in terms of the second half of that question, in terms of unemployment rates, price falls and so on?
We see unemployment going up to 6%. Well, that's disappointing, but it's actually not high unemployment by our historical measures. And if you go back, in some respects, what we're seeing now looks a little more like 1980, 81, 82, both in New Zealand and internationally. That was quite a downturn. Much higher unemployment at that sort of time. We will watch the labour market carefully. But currently our forecast sees an unemployment growth, but not a massive one.
Have you changed your view at all on house prices in the last...
Not really. We slightly more pessimistic, but only very slightly at the margin. We're seeing a house price contraction where house prices dropped 16% in nominal terms from their peak, and we're halfway through that now. The rest of it happens in the first half of next year. We base that on quite a bit of forward indicators in the housing market that makes that more predictable in some of these areas. So far, that's behaving as we would expect. Again, that's not assured, but that's quite an important part of our prediction because it helps underpin some growth in consumption next year.
The rate cuts at present and all the other stimulus measures from the government, tax cuts and so on, I mean, how do you see the retail sector going in the next year?
I think we've got a retail sector that continues at quite low rates, so it's not necessarily going to be a great Christmas for anybody, but we don't see major contraction.
The additional factor of the lower oil prices has helped disposable income, but through until the middle of next year there's very little growth in consumer spending, but we do see some growth returning from the middle of next year.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If there's no more questions, it's the end of the conference. And can I thank you for your support and interest during the year. Have a happy Christmas, and I hope we all have a 2009 that's one heap better than 2008.